Yes, I am, Gary. Yes, we are. We are here to learn. And I have to ask you, are you completely happy with the way your life is? Or are you completely happy with the way the world is? I mean, if you are, you don't need to listen anymore. And I know I am not. Either completely happy with the way my life is or with the way the world is. And so I believe we are invited to hear the teachings of the masters, the spiritual masters of the ages, as those teachings come down to us. And I hear them saying that the way home, enlightenment, Satori, it is not found in the outer conditions of the world, in what we do. No matter how pleasurable, no matter how ego-fulfilling, the way starts within us. Co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, framed a core teaching of the Masters in this statement that he wrote in Keep a True Lent. Our most important study is our own mind. Not only the intellectual mind, but the spiritual mind. Know thyself was inscribed on the temple of Apollo at Delphi. And it must be inscribed on our own temple, over the door of our mind. Know thyself. Charles Fillmore was far from the first to call us to do the work of the inner way. Both Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism, and Siddhartha Gautama, who became the Buddha, both were teaching their version of the inner way work 500 to 600 years before the time of Jesus. Now, the Fillmores saw in the life and the teachings of Jesus the clearest demonstration of the divine manifested in human form. And so that clarity put Unity on the path that we continue on, in which we find guidance in the teachings and in the life of Jesus. But we read scripture and hear not only a moral teaching, but we hear a deeper metaphysical truth that illumines our understanding. One of the core teachings of Jesus is that of the kingdom of God. The gospel writers sometimes call it the kingdom of heaven. John calls it eternal life, but it all means the same thing, that the inner way leads to knowing and experiencing God, God in us. Now, Jesus spoke of this inner way over and over and over again in the Gospels. In Luke, 17th chapter, once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. And he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, there it is,' or 'Look there.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is within you." In the Gospel of Thomas, the 70th reading, Jesus said, "If you bring forth that what is within you, what you have will save you. If you do not have that within you," excuse me, "what you do not have within you will kill you." The Aramaic scholar Neil Douglas Klotz gives an alternate translation to a passage from the book of Mark. And he writes, "For how does it help a human being to know diversity and abundance outside, but lack an inner life? What will one give for an inner life?" If we look at the events of Jesus' life, as recorded in the Gospels, we can find a pattern that may show us our own inner way. And there is a series of events that happen right at the very beginning of his ministry that I see as steps for this inner way process. First, Jesus was willing to be transformed. He was willing. And that's shown by his baptism by John. Second, Jesus went through an enlightenment when he received the blessing of the Holy Spirit as he came up from that baptism. And third, Jesus developed his spiritual understanding as he went and spent those 40 days alone in the wilderness. And then finally, Jesus acted from this inner way experience as he did his ministry of healing and teaching. And in looking at this, I am struck by how being willing can open in a simple action to the presence of the divine. See, Jesus was willing to be changed. He was baptized, and that opened him to the experience of oneness with Spirit. The writer of Mark says, Spirit came upon him, and a voice said, You are my beloved. This activity of Spirit that we call enlightenment is found in all traditions. Unity calls it manifesting the Christ within. And it did not happen just to one person 2,000 years ago. It happens to many people. There's a modern-day Zen teacher that goes by the name of Adyashanti. And he tells about his own enlightenment experience in his book, Empty Dancing. And he says that he had been practicing Zen meditation for 15 years. And one morning in preparation to go to his teacher, he was in early meditation, and the window was open, and he heard a bird singing, and that sound came in through that open window. And he said, a thought arose in my mind that I had never thought before. Who is it that is hearing the birdsong? And in that moment, his whole perspective changed. He had his own enlightenment experience, and he was one with the bird. He was one with the song. He was one with the hearer who was hearing it. He got up because off the cushion because everything was one, and he wanted to see if there was something in his experience that did not participate of that oneness. So he walked in the kitchen and looked at the stove, and the stove was one. And he walked into the bathroom and picked the most unlikely object he could find, which was the toilet. And it was one. And then he says this in his book. With that first step, when I realized that what was looking through my eyes and senses was awakeness or spirit, rather than conditioning or memory, I saw that that same spirit was actually looking through all the other pairs of eyes. It didn't matter if it was looking through other conditioning, it was the exact same thing. It was seeing itself everywhere, not only in the eyes, but also in the trees, the rocks, and the floor. Story of awakening. In modern words, now our experience of awakening may not be as dramatic as Adyashanti's or as Jesus's, and yet awakening to our own oneness with Spirit is one of the promises that the inner way has for us. Now, as we do this, we have to practice. And in your bulletin, you have a slip of paper that has several awakening practices on it. And I invite you to take that home with you, because it is an opportunity to practice mindfulness in the moment. And my practice often takes place on this mat and the sofa. You see, we find practices that will grow our spiritual consciousness, because waking up is only the first step. If we want to grow spiritually, we must find and commit to a daily practice, one that will help us to develop those inner skills. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to join me in a practice together during our meditation. But before we start, I would like to offer you two exercises that will help begin the journey of your own inner way. They are breathing and awareness. Breathing and awareness. Now, they sound very simple, since after all, we are alive. We are by nature breathing, aware human beings. And let's start with breathing. We rarely think about our breath, unless we don't have any, ask an asthmatic. Our problem is, we human beings are not present in this now moment. Usually, we are either busy regretting the past or fearing the future. And in both the past and the future, there is no need to breathe. We are enmeshed in the story that we tell ourselves, and we don't need to breathe. And so, our breath goes on autopilot. And it is only when we come to the present moment that we can consciously connect with our breath. And when we do so, our breath becomes a way to ground, to keep us present, out of the story that we're telling ourselves in the past or the fear that we have in the future. Conscious breathing in the moment. It's a simple activity. We simply find that place in the body where we can feel the breath. For many, it's at the outer edges of the nostrils, or in the throat, or maybe the rise and the fall of the chest or the abdomen as you breathe. But wherever it is that you feel the breath, we just simply pick that one place and then focus our attention on the breath there. And when our mind wanders, as it will, we gently bring our attention back to the breath. Now, breathing consciously is a grounding activity. And as we turn to the second practice, attention, awareness, we will use the breath throughout in order to help us come back to ground. Now, the second practice is what Unity Minister Robert Brummett calls radical awareness. Now, we have our daily awareness, and that daily awareness is usually comprised of old behaviors and old thoughts, rote activities, because we don't consciously think about them. We live on autopilot most of the time. Hence, leaving work and driving home and not remembering the drive. It's all autopilot. Radical awareness can happen easiest in our experience as we do a planned practice like meditation. And we become conscious of ourselves on three levels: the body, in our thoughts, and in our feelings. So as we sit in a meditative practice, we often find the body creating a sensation like a muscle cramp or a tickle in the throat or an itch on the skin or needing to sneeze. Any, a million and one different sensations can be created in the body, and we simply observe the sensation and then return our attention to the breath. Oh, there's an itch. Breathe. Because you will find if you can be patient long enough and just observe the sensation, that it will go away. It'll disappear. Now, the second area of awareness is directed to our thoughts that arise. Now, in meditative practice, we don't intentionally think. And so the thoughts that come up are a distraction from the focus on our breath or on our body. And it might be something like, oh, what am I going to do later today? What am I making for dinner? Or that big crisis that I have been putting off dealing with comes back again for my attention. And the response is simply, oh, a thought. And return to the breath. Oh, thinking. Return to the breath. Finally, feelings arise. Now, like body sensations and like the thought, they are a part of our distraction. The beauty of having the breath as the foundational that we come back to over and over again is that when we have a feeling that we have not dealt with yet, we can honor it. We don't force it away. We can just gently breathe through it. And like the body sensation that will subside if you just observe it and breathe, the feeling too, once it has been honored, will simply subside as we breathe through it. Breathing and awareness, being in the now moment, that is such a simple tool, yet it is the tool that Siddhartha used to become the Buddha. Breathing and awareness. Before we begin our meditative practice, I want to share one last thought from Charles Fillmore's Keep a True Lent. He writes, "Mind is the common meeting ground between God and man. And it is only through the most highly accelerated mind action, as in prayer, that we can consciously make union with God, the one and only Creator. As our consciousness, our awareness expands, we touch the everlasting truths, and we find that every blessing is abundantly added. What seems new is but the unveiling of what has been forever. What seems new is only what has been forever."